Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday Second Class, Grace Orientation, 20 November 2011.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we are constantly amazed at your magnificent grace, and the very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble now to worship you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. For we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in our special on grace, and we have noted that there are three reasons for faith alone in Christ alone as the basis of eternal salvation. Yeah, efficacious grace, the Greek word tetelestai, and the direct statement of Scripture. We noted efficacious grace in the first hour, and we are started the a study on the Greek word tetelestai. We noted the passage in Matthew 27:27-54, the Matthew's passage on the crucifixion of Christ. Turn over to Luke chapter 23, Luke's description. And each one of them emphasized something a little bit different. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, let's start at verse 32. Two other men, both of them criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divide, and by the way, that is absolutely phenomenal. I know if I was on the cross, that's not what I would have said. I'm not God. I'd have probably told them their ancestry and everything else. But Jesus Christ is the impeccable God-man. After all that he had already gone through, which we read in Matthew's account, after having been stripped and a robe put on him and thorns woven into a crown and crushed on his head and given a staff and then getting down on their knee and mocking him, "Hail, King of the Jews," and then taking the staff and beating him in the head beating him again and again and again and again and again in the head until his family couldn't recognize him. And then taken and nailed to the cross and to say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." You know, that is the reality of man most of the time. You know, Christians are the worst at jumping to conclusions and imaginations, and they don't know what they're doing. They are so far off, they don't know what they're doing. That characterizes us so many times. And we're warned by God, you're not supposed to go there. You're not supposed to get into that kind of activity. But a lot of times man does exactly that. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ." And when they say that, if he is the Messiah. The Messiah, the anointed one from God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up, and by the way, that tells us again, they knew he was claiming to be the Messiah, prophesied about in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was, they knew he was declaring to be the Messiah. "Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one." And the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ?" That is, "Aren't you the Messiah?" Even this criminal being executed along with Christ, and by the way, this criminal deserved to be executed. Christ was sinless perfection. "Aren't you the Messiah?" he says. "Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, you can tell this other criminal believed in Jesus Christ. He believed in Jesus Christ. He knew he had done nothing wrong. He knew that he was God, and he was entering into the kingdom of God. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom, God's kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Now I love this. For all of the legalists out there, and there's so much legalism in the world and so much legalism in America, for all of the legalists, this is cut and dry. This is it, over and out. This man on the cross, this criminal, is being executed because he's a criminal. He deserved to be executed. He's on the cross. He can't do any works. It's really hard to do works when you're nailed to a cross. It's hard to raise your hand. It's hard to walk down the aisle. Baptized? Well, they have to pick up the whole cross and dip them in the lake. It didn't happen. He wasn't baptized. He didn't raise his hand. He didn't walk down an aisle. He didn't do anything. In fact, he was a criminal that was being executed for his crimes. He deserved it. There's only one thing you can do, and that's believe. All he could do was believe. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. All you can do is believe. All he could do was believe. And what did Jesus say? I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. What was the basis of his salvation? Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. He could do no works. He's a man nailed to a cross. Excuse me. When I was at Dallas Seminary, I worked part-time as a janitor at Salad Master Corporation. I don't know if Salad Master is still in operation or not, but Salad Master had its headquarters in Dallas, Texas, and I was the janitor who came in. I got paid $3 an hour, and I came in after they were done. We're usually around 11 o'clock at night. I just had to be done before they came to work the next morning. And I was in there, and I do the vacuuming and dump the garbage, dump the waste baskets and clean the phones and do all of the stuff janitors do. And I'm coming to the vice president of Salad Master's office, and he happened to be in his office working late. And so I said, sir, is it all right if I come in and dump your waste basket and clean your phone and vacuum your... Yeah, come on in. Oh, that's fine. Come on in. And so I came in, I'm vacuuming and doing my chores. And he says, hey, aren't you, didn't they say you were going to Dallas Seminary? You're a seminary student? I go, yes, sir, I am. I said, well, that is great. That's just great. He says, I'm a deacon in the Church of Christ. I said, well, great. He goes, yeah. I started to walk out, and I thought, well, hell, all he can do is fire me. So, I mean, he is the vice president, I'm the janitor. I mean, he has the right to fire me, right? So I said, sir, do you mind if I just ask you one thing? No, he said, go ahead. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Well, believe in Christ and be baptized. Sir, do you remember when Christ was on the cross and there were two criminals that were executed next to him? And one of those criminals turned to Jesus and he believed in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And he wasn't baptized. In fact, he didn't do anything except believe. All he could do was believe. All he could do was believe in Christ. And here's the vice president of Salad Master Corporation and the big mucky muck in the Church of Christ. And he got this furrowed brow. And he said, they never taught that passage. And I said, no. I said, if you really believe you're going to go to heaven because of you were baptized, if you really believe that, you're not going to heaven. Because for by grace are you saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, not of works. Lest any man should boast. You do the work, you get the glory. God does the work, he gets the glory. God did all the work. That's why it's called salvation by grace. By grace. Not by your works, by grace. Sir, I'm going to be in heaven. I hope you're in heaven too. But I would reevaluate and just place my faith in Christ and apart from any work. Don't trust in your works. It's just faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. I walked out. I thought, what a great privilege. Here I am. One of the reasons I got this job to be janitor, I know now, was so that the vice president and salad master could hear the gospel. And I don't know what he did. I just left it at that. I kind of believe that I'm going to see him in heaven. So one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and that 12 noon, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now that's at the end of that three-hour period. At the end of that three-hour period. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. And the centurion, the Roman centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. This was the Roman centurion in charge of the detail that day of the executions. And he believed in Christ. All right, now I want you to go over to John 19. John chapter 19. John 19, verse 28, later, knowing that all was now completed, that 3 hours of darkness from 12 noon to 3 p.m. was completed, that 3 hours when all the sins of the world were gathered up by God the Father and poured out on Christ, and they were all judged in Jesus Christ during that three-hour period, that 3 hours of judgment of our sins was completed, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's been completed. And now the darkness is left. And by the way, that 3 hours, that's all the work for salvation. All the judgment for our sins was completed in that 3 hours of darkness. And the darkness left, and Jesus Christ is still physically alive. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, Tetelestai. It is finished. Perfect tense. Finished in the past with the result that all the work for salvation was completed by Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. What is the basis for eternal salvation? Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Why? Who did the work? Jesus Christ did all the work. He did all the work. Christ did all the work. You're placing your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. He did the work. We don't do the work. If you do the work, it's not grace. And if it's not grace, there's no salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. You do the work, you get the glory. Christ does the work, Christ gets the glory. And he said, it's finished. Tetelestai. All the work for salvation was finished by Christ on the cross. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. All right. One, this word was uttered by our Lord, Tetelestai. See if we still have it up here. There it is right there. That is the actual form of what he said, Tetelestai. And it's from the verb teleo. The verb teleo, which means to achieve, to succeed, to complete, to finish. So this word was uttered by our Lord on the cross while he was still alive physically. He was still alive, and yet he said all the work for salvation was finished, which means his physical death was not what provided salvation. His physical death meant that all his saving work on the cross was finished. He finished what he came to do. And so he dismissed his spirit to the Father. So this word was uttered by our Lord on the cross while he was still alive. Two, his physical death had nothing to do with our salvation. It was his spiritual death. It was those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. It was when that darkness came over the land. It was when all of our sins were imputed to him. And God the Father judged all of our sins in Christ that provided salvation for you and me. Three, when that last sin was judged, our Lord said, Tetelestai, it is finished. For he was telling us that his work of substitutionary spiritual death, being judged for our sins, was finished. He was telling us that his work of substitutionary spiritual death, being judged for our sins, was finished. Five. Then he died physically and dismissed his soul and spirit from his body. Then he died physically and dismissed his soul and spirit from his body. Six, Christ did not die physically for our sins. Seven, his physical death only meant that his work on earth during the incarnation was finished. His physical death meant that his work on earth during the incarnation was finished. Tetelestai. There are three reasons for faith alone and Christ alone being the basis for eternal salvation. Efficacious grace, the Greek word tetelestai, and the direct statement of Scripture. The direct statement of the Word of God. Grace is a gift from God. And since it is a gift, it cannot be earned or deserved. John 16, verses 8 and 9. And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convince the world concerning sin because they do not believe in me. What is the sin he convicts them of? That they do not believe in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say he's going to convict them of their sin of drinking Bud Light. I mean, that's pretty nasty stuff. But that's not what it says he's going to convict them of. He will convince the world concerning sin because they do not believe in me. John 3:15, 16, and 18. Everyone who believes in me has eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave us his Son, the unique one, in order that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the person of the uniquely born Son of God. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 6:47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. John 20:31. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And likewise, every one of your family can do the same thing and be saved. Galatians 3:26, you are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Romans 3:20-22. Because by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For through the law is the knowledge of sin. But apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans 4:4-5, but to the one who works for salvation, his wages are not calculated on the basis of grace. They are calculated on the basis of debt. But to him who does not work for salvation, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith receives credit for righteousness. Romans 4:14-16. For if those who are by means of the law heirs, then faith has been made void and the promises have been canceled. For this reason, it is by means of faith, in order that it might be on the basis of grace. Romans 5:15-17. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we are jubilant in the hope of the glory of God. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one man, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through that one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through that one, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by means of grace you have been saved through faith. And this salvation is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not from works, in order that no one may boast. Philippians 3, 9. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:11 to 13 teaches that we cannot lose our salvation, even if we deny our faith in Christ. Faithful is the word. For if we die with Christ, and we shall also live with Christ. If we endure through suffering for blessing, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us greater grace, blessing, and eternity. If we deny our faith in him, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. 1 John 5:11 to 13. This is the deposition that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has this life. He who does not have the Son does not have this life. These things I have written to you who believe in the person of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7, resulting in the praise of the glory of his grace, by which grace he has graced us out in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, on the basis of the riches of his grace. 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering with reference to the gospel on the basis of the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sake of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death as a substitute for all of us. With our heads bowed. If there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we do want to make one issue very clear for you. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father. They were poured out on Jesus Christ, and they were judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question. It's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in him, there is the gift of eternal life. For those who reject him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now with your head bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank You for the privilege of studying Your Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.